Welcome to On Tap with Corey and Ira, where they discuss Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. Here's your host, Corey Butler and Ira Carlson.
Hello and welcome to episode number 38 of On Tap with Corey and Ira, your bi-weekly exploration into Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. We've got a great show lined up for you this week. Ira, what's on tap?
We got a great show coming up. We had a chance to head over to Spiral Brewery in Hastings. Real nice visit there with the gang over there. Had a chance to sit down and try several of their beers and learn a little bit about how they came to be open. One of the breweries that, you know, hometown people bringing a brewery back to their hometown. So that was a really fun discussion. Have another style of the week coming up with Andrew, and of course a couple of beers on the fruity side from Firehouse for the beers of the week. So kind of a fun show all around.
Yeah, as we like to do, if it works out, we always like to record these segments after the interview because then we can, you know, tease to it. It was a fun conversation. We had Amy, Jen, and Nick sit in with us at the space, beautiful space. We don't want to ruin too much for you. That's the teaser, right? Is that what they call in the business? So great conversation, probably about 40 minutes long. A lot of heritage there, their family from there. Came back to town to do it, like you said, and put out some fun beer and in a great space in a town that obviously needed it because they're there and they're doing well. And it's right along the river, and they've got some cool plans coming up. So it's a fun conversation to listen to, and I would definitely encourage folks to stick around and listen to it.
You made it this far. Stick around.
That's right. And if you're listening to us live right now, 11 a.m. on a Saturday morning, thank you. That means you're listening to us on 95 The One, coming out of Northfield, Minnesota. Also 1080 AM KYMN Radio, coming out throughout the region. So you could be catching us up in the tractor, in the truck, wherever you are, maybe in your house. I don't know. Do the Alexa thing, right? Play On Tap with Corey. Oh, sorry. I probably shouldn't say it so it doesn't trigger. But On Tap with Corey on LinkedIn, or not LinkedIn. On what's the one?
Tuned In Radio.
Tuned In Radio. Not LinkedIn, but Tuned In. We're on iHeartRadio, so you can get us on there too. So that's kind of fun.
I feel like we should add ourselves to LinkedIn just to make it give one more option here.
LinkedIn. Where's Corey and Ira? Or on our website. That's a good place to go. It got really warm in here all of a sudden. I think the AC kicked out, but it might just be the embarrassment of asking Alexa about LinkedIn. OnTapNorfield.com is a good place to find our shows as well, previous shows, and then you can find out what's coming up through our Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram. We're all on those things, you know, as the young kids call them, the social medias. OnTapNorfield is a good place to search. That's how you'd find us and all those things. But we've got a good show coming up today. Let's stick around for that.
And now time for Beers of the Week, brought to us this week by Firehouse Liquor of Dundas. Our first offering's coming out of a tiny little brewery down in New Ulm, otherwise known as Shells. Of course, kidding a little bit there, obviously a well-known Minnesota brewery. But this is off their Grain Belt line, the Grain Belt Blueberry Lager. So this is a lager made with real blueberry juice, and I got to tell you, when I looked at it, I'm like, this is not going to be a good beer. I really wasn't expecting it. And all of a sudden, I opened it and tried it, and it has a lot of fruit to it. And all of a sudden, I'm absolutely digging this beer. This is really a fun one. Comes in at only 4.7, so an easy drinker. Definitely for lawnmower beer, of course, as we like to say. It's great beer for outside, but I was really pleasantly surprised by this. And it's just like anything else. You know, try things before you decide whether you like them or not, because this one, I'm loving it.
Well, I was just going to throw you under the bus. You just said, I'm not going to like this. Open your mind a little bit and quit being so darn judgmental. We've talked about on the show before that these preconceived notions about what a beer should be or what you may not like is hogwash, as the folks like to say. Just because it might be a fruited beer doesn't mean it's not a beer for you. So I'm glad that you were willing to try this beer and give it a shot and end up liking it. I like it.
And I don't mind throwing myself under the bus on this one just because of the fact that, like I said, a lot of fruit beers sometimes feel gimmicky, and this actually was one that I can see picking up a six-pack of because while it is fruity, it actually works really well in a, you know, in an ongoing basis.
I think it's fair to have skepticism when it's a color of a can or a type of style that you're not familiar with. But as we've talked about, it's good to experiment. It's good to try different things and challenge yourself within the realm of different beer flavors. Now, given it's a Grain Belt Shells product, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt every time because they've been doing this a while. They kind of figured out what works and what doesn't work.
I like Shell's beer. I'm not saying that I don't by any means. I absolutely love a good grain belt. You know,
no, I'm not saying you dismissed it because of that. But the idea of hearing a blueberry lager, you're like, oh, if you've not had that before, you might kind of your ears peak up and you just aren't sure. But I went into this fully expecting it to be what it should be, and I like it. It's that blueberry juice really comes through. It's a nice mellow beer, well balanced. It's a beautiful color in the glass. It's kind of purplish with a red hue to it. As you said, it's a great summer sipper. I'm not sure if this is year round. This came over from Sean, obviously, so we don't have a lot of information on it and didn't do too much research beforehand. But like you said, it kind of kickstarted. I think it's State Fair, and maybe this is the first time it's been in packaging, maybe in last year. Sorry if we got that wrong, but I'm glad we came across it because I think I could see myself picking up this for the fridge because it's nice quenching beer that I don't think I'd get tired of. That fruit is a nice flavor. It's prominent, but it's not overriding everything else. It's not a flavor you'd get tired of that a lot of people do with fruit beers, especially lighter fruit beers. So I give that a big thumbs up. Not that we do like rankings here or anything like that, but two thumbs up. And then the other beer we have today is also from another young brewery out of Minnesota, Summit Brewing Company, celebrating 30 plus years in business, of course. This is their Golden Fruited Ale. It's a golden ale. It came out in their Boundary Waters pack, so you can find this in 12 packs with an assortment of other beers. All very good. I've actually purchased that 12-pack myself, so I've had this before. I've had the benefit of enjoying this before. And it has a lot of different fruit flavor coming through. It's got a little bit of an edge to it, a little crispness to it for a golden ale. It's got a little bite to it. It's got peach and apricot that comes through, and I think a little grapefruit as well. And it's another nice beer for summer. Not too big of a beer. This is meant to, sit back and have a couple if you're golfing or on the boat. So it comes in at 4.7 ABV, so not unlike the Grain Belt Blue. It's not going to knock your socks off, but that's kind of the intent of summer-style beers, that you want to go out, relax, as you're sweating out all that water and all that fluid that you don't want something that's going to kick you in the face. So this is a nice porch swing drinking beer, golfing, boating, what have you, or, as you like to say, a lawnmower beer.
Yeah, this one's interesting to me. I mean, it is definitely a nice pale ale. I'm not picking up as much of the flavor in there, so I don't know if it's just my palate and maybe from having the blueberry that's throwing me off a little bit. But at the same time, it is a very good beer, just maybe not quite what I'd reach for, but it's definitely that summer sipper, easy sitting outside kind of a beer here. So, and I love everything Summit does, so I even feel bad saying that, but this one doesn't quite hit the mark for me as much.
Well, as we've discussed, it's subjective. I mean, stylistically, it's good. It's a nice recipe, and it just may not be your flavor. But I bet it's someone else's flavor, and they can find that where.
Well, if you want to try either one of these beers or any of the other beers we've talked about on previous shows, they can be conveniently found south on Highway 3 in Dundas.
Look for the fire truck. All right, we're coming now on site from Spyro Brewery in Hastings, Minnesota, one of the newest breweries in the area, about 3 months old. Same with a trio across me of the five that's involved in this brewery. Why don't we just start from one end and see who you guys are and what your role is with the brewery?
I am Amy Fox. If you look at my business card, my title says President of Miscellaneous Things, because I really do that. I pretty much handle everything that's not the beer. For Spyro Brewery.
That's a cool title. I like that we're liberated now that we can just, whatever title you want, right?
Yeah, we try to get a little creative.
Well done.
And I'm Jen Fox, and on my business card it says Sorceress of Connectivity. And I do more miscellaneous things, probably. But I do a lot of our communication and our outreach, our events, and whatever I can help Amy with, and our social media. And I work in tandem with Claire, one of our business partners, who is not on this interview.
And you field questions from guys like us who say, hey, we'd like to talk to you?
Yes, yeah. Yes. That's right. The best part of my job.
Well, thanks for responding.
I'm Nick Fox, and on my business card it says CVO, which stands for Chief Visionary Officer, because really my whole part of this is just kind of thinking and planning big picture stuff and helping Amy execute that then. And Luke is not here. He's the fifth owner. I'm married to Claire, and he is our brewmaster.
So when you take one of those personality tests, you always get like futurist as a when you're...
That comes up a lot, yep.
I imagine so.
Yep.
Well, thanks for having us. Sorry the other two couldn't join us, but I'm sure you'll fill in just fine for them. So I mentioned 3 months ago, roughly. By the time this airs, it'll be 3 months. You guys open April 20th. That's not where the story starts, though. Obviously, the visionary over here, I'm sure, had some ideas with the help of the other four in the group. Why don't you tell us about how this came together, where the interest in beer came from, and how the heck you decided to open up a brewery?
Well, we've been planning for about 5 years now.
So just a little time, right?
It's just a little bit, a little chunk of our life. And it really kind of started with Amy and myself traveling a lot. We've been married for 12 years now, just celebrating an anniversary. Married for 12 years, have a 3.5-year-old, so that gave us a lot of time without kids. And we just traveled all over the place and started to realize that our travels started just following vineyards and breweries. And we just really got into craft beer. And
I just say right now that I'm really jealous of your story so far. Not that you guys traveled so much, but that you had marriage without kids for a while.
Oh, a long while. It was yeah. It was nice.
It was thoughtful.
I just got back from a vacation that tells you that there's light at the end of the rainbow. Yeah. You could travel on vacation without the kids.
I just have to wait till I'm in my late 40s.
It was
love my kids, but good. It wasn't long enough.
I will say it was well planned. I mean, that was planned.
So you got all this experience.
Yes, absolutely. So we found a love for craft beer and decided to move back to our hometown. We were both born and raised and have a deep passion and love for our city of Hastings. We're one day just hanging out with Jen, talking about our city and talking about beer. We were having some good beer during this conversation, and we're like, we need a craft brewery here. This would help the community. There's a gap in the market here. This would be perfect.
Beautiful
That's
downtown
where,
to
where
put it,
it
in.
Started. Exactly.
So this was back in like 2013 still?
Yep.
So still the reemergence of breweries is in its infancy. So
yep.
Probably not even 30 breweries yet at that point. Yeah. Maybe a little more.
Maybe a little bit more than 30 statewide, yeah. but not many. So then the planning, we kind of just talked about it, you know, just dreaming for a long time. But then got serious the next
year.
Yeah. The next year, we got a little bit more serious and started working with a program in Hastings, talking about how to open a business, how to start a business, because they have some great local programs for people who want to do that in our town. Learn how to create a business plan, really started doing a lot of research. While Amy was pregnant, and right when we had our daughter, I think I was going up. I've met with probably 25 breweries, brewery owners. Yeah, tons. I mean,
you just happened to drink well there.
I may have had a pint or two, but really just asking questions. I had a list of questions that I would ask every single one, like what was the hardest part? Like what regulatory things do you need to go through to get to where you are? What was a setback that you had that you didn't foresee? Just pretty general questions. And luckily, the beer community is just so supportive and helpful that we got a lot of great information from them.
Yeah, I was just going to jump in and say, I'm sure you've heard this a lot, but we were blown away by how open and helpful the entire community was. We definitely couldn't have gotten to this point without some of their help and some of their insight and advice. So it's a really nice community to join.
And not even just the small breweries. Some of the big guys were just so helpful and supportive.
Yeah, I was going to say, without exposing your sources, was there anybody particularly helpful? We hear a lot of, you know, different people just make connections. And
Can we name drop?
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course.
It allows us to make more social takes, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim Whiskers
were
just amazing to us and really, really supportive. Let me ask any question I really had, because they were really in a... They were really new when I went and approached him,
sure.
And they had just opened. So for him to actually like slow down,
it was pretty much an open book.
Yeah,
too.
and take time to really talk through some stuff. It was incredible.
And yeah, I'd say Liftbridge helped us a lot.
Yeah.
And
bad weather through a connection with our accountants. That we share.
Some people at Town Hall too were really helpful.
So we had some great mentors.
So in 2018, those four breweries, that's a pretty good pedigree to be leaning on. So
absolutely.
Hopefully that bodes well for you guys.
That's the hope.
So you started getting some really good feedback 4 years ago after you guys decided to move ahead with this. Then what?
And simultaneously, we were working on our business plan, which you can imagine is an enormous undertaking. And we also were reconnected through a mutual friend to Luke and Claire, who had just moved back from California to Minneapolis. And we reconnected. We all went to the same college, Gustavus, and we were able to pick his brain about brewers and what to look for and how to ask questions about brewing, because none of us three are brewers. And at that time, we tasted his beer and realized that it was kind of the clinchpin to this whole brewery thing. So,
and not just because it was free beer at the time? Because that's always the best beer, right?
Now, was there any time, if you have a big tie to Gustavus, was there any time you thought about doing St. Peter over Hastings?
No.
I'm guessing you guys weren't still living in St. Peter.
I didn't know the college town. You know,
no,
sometimes
absolutely.
People aim
great
for those
question.
Then. So.
Yeah.
Well, I do think a brewery would do really well in St. Peter, but no, we were always, it was always going to be downtown Hastings.
Like right, just next, from right day next one. To Taco yeah. John's, maybe?
Right by Patrick's, maybe like Spiral South.
Yeah.
Maybe eventually.
A few years.
Yep.
A few taps down there. Can you guys expand?
Give us one more year, then we'll do it.
Yeah. Put that in print or the airwaves. So let's fast forward. You go through the business plan, because we don't want to talk about the business the whole time. We want to talk about what you're doing now and what's coming up. You kind of fast forward. You start going through the motions with the city and I'm sure other entities that you have to work with, the state, the federal government. What was that process like? I followed along with all the construction and, you know, the year leading up to opening. Let's jump point up to there. And,
oh, God.
Because I'm sure it was really easy, right?
Yeah. Super easy. I'm going to say one thing. We would not be open right now if Amy hadn't left her job and Luke leaving their job in May of last year. Really, them leaving their job in May of last year really allowed us to get to the position that we are now, because Luke and Amy were down here every day and working through some of that regulatory stuff. But I'm going to let her speak.
11 months before you made a dollar.
Yes.
So that's a huge commitment.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and well, that was kind of a loaded question. It was a big, complicated last year. There was securing this building took quite a bit, but once we got here, it really like we hit the ground running. We had, you know, we were working with architects and had all of that lined up. So we started working on the building, and Jen was very helpful with all of our paperwork for all of the various licensure and approvals and all of that.
Short
you know,
documents.
It you have to be thoughtful and planned when you're doing all of this stuff, because it takes time and all you need. And working with the government, as I found, is never easy. So you have to just know who to call and who to contact and how to fill out forms. And, you know, just getting through that was difficult, but
sounds like
and, you know.
Might,
I mean,
talking to other brewers, I feel like it was probably a little quicker for you guys compared to some, because they talked about the backlog, especially with the FDA, that it took a very long time to get to this point, and that like more and more as they're opening are a little quicker.
Yeah, the best part about us filling out our paperwork in the time that we did was that other people had already done it. So then at that point, the government like knew how to take in tap rooms and take in forms and figure out how to regulate brewing. Hastings, however, did not. So we've been working really closely with the city all along our process to help expand their purview of what a tap room looks like and how to regulate a brewing system within our town. So that was kind of a fun challenge to take on as
well. So was the city ready for tap rooms? Because we hear about some communities, they go there and the city was like, actually had everything, like the framework ready, and others are like, oh, we had to start from scratch.
You know, they, yes and no. They hadn't, and clearly we were the first brewery since Prohibition in Hastings, so they weren't ready, but because we were in planning and been talking with them all along in planning, they knew we were coming up. There were some things that they put in place, you know, to help us out ahead of time, like they rezoned our downtown district to allow a production, a manufacturing site, like before we even had this building. So, you know, they were putting things in place that really helped out, but it's still a learning process, you know, us working with the city and like working through
some patience.
Yes.
Shaking your head.
And giving them gentle nudges, which has been part of it. I mean, that's totally part of our mission. It's building community, through quality beer and rich history. You know, so really trying to bring the community up to what we think it should be. That's been part of this from the beginning, and this past year has been a big piece of that, because now if another brewery wanted to come to Hastings, it would be much easier because they know how to handle that. Talking about the historic
preservation
committee, you know, they
good old HPC.
Yeah, and they've been through this before now. So that's
yeah, and that's I'm sure it's not a criticism on Hastings.
No, not at all.
There's an education involved for elected officials on any level when anything's new and growing. So it's just something where those volunteer elected officials weren't aware of it. So you had to educate them.
And to their credit, they have been extremely helpful, and they've been really excited for us to come here and open. And they've really been trying to do everything they can to help us out.
And incredibly supportive, like from the mayor to council people to city administrator. I mean, everyone has been so supportive of us.
Everyone likes beer.
Well, it's also been really nice to see this whole downtown getting the love that it's needed, because probably 20 years ago, I worked down the street at Graphic Design, and the downtown really didn't have much other than RJ's. That was like a really big thing when RJ's opened up, and otherwise it really wasn't anything going on down here other than a cosmetology school. And so watching all the restaurants and everything else coming in as over the years as I drive through and see it, it's really fun to see the downtown starting to come back and be a lot more interesting than in just a dust ball blowing by kind of a thing, which was unfortunate for this beautiful downtown right along the river. So
yeah, and that's actually was a part of our business plan too, is we were watching. So not only was it the time in the beer market when everything was kind of starting to explode, there was a gap in the market down here, so there weren't any breweries, but it was also a timing thing of Hastings, because they really were starting to care and work on the downtown, and they had this whole downtown riverfront renaissance, and we were following it right away, and we just knew all of the you know, the ducks were going to get right in a line for all of this to work out, and it has so far.
So Amy, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Our timing was crucial in this whole process from the beginning.
Works out that way sometimes.
Yep.
Amy, you alluded to this building. I don't want to undersell it, because it's not just a building. It's a very beautiful building, historic. Obviously, you mentioned HPC. How did you guys land on this building? Was it the first building you looked at? I'm sure that's exactly how it worked, right?
No, it wasn't the first building. But yeah, it is a bit of a loaded question, because we actually were all in planning, looking to be in a different facility. And there were, for various reasons, we ended up starting looking other places. And we toured, I think, 3 buildings downtown at the time, and this one really rose to the top, just because aesthetically it's beautiful and big, and it was what we needed, and it really rose to that top quickly, so we wanted to snatch it up.
That in and of itself was a process, because breweries are not cheap, so you need to make sure they have funding and are able to do this. So the people who owned this building before are local people who still have a business, a photography business in town. They're moving it out to their land to just, it worked better for their family. So they were incredibly kind and patient with the timing of everything to allow us to get into this building. Yep. Again, stars aligned.
What's particularly, I mean, we talked about aesthetics, but I'm looking around here, and obviously I don't have the benefit of having seen this before. You guys put in just a little bit of work, I'm sure, to get in shape for what it is today. What spoke to you? I mean, was it the ceilings? Was it the brick? Was that covered? Was the brick covered? What just said this space was yours?
It had the perfect...
And tell people about it now, like,
yeah,
what you guys...
Yeah, it had the perfect industrial, warm industrial feel that we were going for. So I know that that's an oxymoron. I do get that, but it's totally is. I mean, we have exposed brick on one side and exposed limestone on the other. We also have the original pressed tin ceiling from 1900. So the aesthetic is just beautiful. And when we got it, there were a ton of false walls, some office spaces for the photography studio, but really it was in pretty good shape. It took a lot of just a lot of tear down, I guess, and demolition to remove all of the space. We just had to gut anything that was in here and then tear a huge hole in the floor to drop our 30-barrel fermenters into the brew pit.
Well, that's going to be my next question. It's how big the brew house is, because do you know that going into your business plan, finding your space, how big you want to go? Because you guys aren't a small operation over there.
So one of the meeting with other breweries, one of the best advice that I got was you have to know who you're going to be. And what the person meant by that is, are you going to be a seven-barrel system who just does small batch stuff and just minimal distribution, and that's what you do, and you do a lot of really unique things, and that's great? Or are you looking to be a distributor? Are you looking to really get your kegs out there? And the advice that this person gave me, they said, the people that fail in the breweries that don't do as well are the ones who get caught in the middle of that. So decide who you're going to be and commit to it. And that's what we did. We have a 15-barrel system with 6 30-barrel fermenters. So our capacity is pretty big for the space that we have, for the footprint of the space that we have. So we're able to produce a lot and able to distribute a lot. We are not using it to its full capacity yet, but someday we intend to.
So that was my question. You're 3 months in. You have the vision long-term, but you are 3 months in. I'm sure you have a private timeline that maybe you don't want to mention, but what do you see down the road, like in terms of distribution? Is it going to be 18 months down the road, 3 years on the road? Is it just dictated by how well you guys do and what the market bears?
We've started distributing locally, and we're in 4 bars right now, and we're excited to expand that just even within our own little area. But we do have really clear goals within our business plan about how we want to distribute and at what time. And at some point, we were excited to go north and south and east and west and get outside of Minnesota into Prescott and up into the Twin Cities.
Prescott, to be fair, Prescott's closer than Northfield.
So. Absolutely. Yes. It is for us. But we would love to. That's interstate, so it's a little bit more complicated. Yep, yep. But we're excited to expand in that way. But right now, we're really excited because we're on our... we're making our goals so far, and that speaks to how well designed our business plan was, that we are able to achieve our goals in the time that we've allotted so far. So, yes.
So looking at still tap accounts or eventually packaging beer as well?
Yeah, right now we're just kegging and selling that. But yes, it's in our plan to either bottle or can down the road. You know, I think we had it in like year 3 of our business plan, but I know a lot of places plan out and then end up doing it quicker, you know, in talking to people and, you know, the mobile canning lines and different things that are around now that weren't when we started our business plan. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can spin it. So,
well, and if I remember right, during your grand opening when I got a tour, you have some space back there available for that when you decide to do that route too, correct?
It depends on how much malt is delivered that week, but mostly, yes.
So now I'm curious, because we don't, you know, we occasionally delve into business plans, or at least the idea of where people want to go, but we're mentioning specific years, year 3. How far out have you guys built your business plan? 5 years, 10 years?
I guess it's 5 years.
Yeah. Which is
thinking back.
Standard, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Having never opened
it's
my
pretty
business.
Detailed for the first 2, and then the next 3 are a little less detailed.
What you do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And we're kind of at a point right now where we're going into our 3rd month, you know. So we need to figure out exactly where we're at, because we've been busy, we've been slammed, which is a good thing. But what's real and what is a new thing that's opening?
So, yeah, the last time I was here, I had a beer. I had a second one, I was going to get a growler, and then, of course, a bus tour showed up, all getting flights, and I think it took me another 20 minutes to get my tab, so.
Sorry about that.
Not a problem. It's a good problem for you to have.
Well, it's one thing if those buses call ahead. Yeah. It's another if they don't. Having been someone who's scheduled those tours.
I'm just going to call out one
make
thing
those
here.
Arrangements.
Yeah.
And, Jen, you should know this, but just setting this up, how
call ahead.
How much follow-through I have on. Hey, I just want to check in. That's how I am.
I'm not going to change the subject, but this may be the longest we've ever talked to anyone and not even actually mentioned their beer so far.
Well, I was getting there.
Because I'm enjoying
question.
It. I'm just letting you know that we haven't talked about
we
it.
We like yet. To talk.
Well, I was going to say, you guys have been incredibly gracious, Les, kind of in on the business plan and kind of what the vision is, so thank you for that. Not everyone's always that open. And obviously, we don't want to be too premature. Like you said, 3 months doesn't necessarily make a trend. It could be initial interest, like every brewery sees. Hopefully it sustains, of course. But yeah, time will tell. But the first 3 months, reception's been great, right?
It's been amazing. We have so much support from the community. And one thing that we anticipated and are grateful that it's actually happening is people coming from other cities that heard about us and are interested. So you people listening in Northfield, you got to make a little day trip.
Oh, we're statewide. Don't worry. Okay. We're on the internet, so people hear us everywhere.
Okay, people of the internet come to Hastings, Minnesota.
If you have any questions, ask your friends at Tillian.
There you go. There you go. So reception's been good. When you guys first opened, you had a handful of beers. I think you, correct me if I'm wrong, quickly settled in about 6 beers, and now it looks like you have 8 on tap. So what's driven the beer choice, style choice? Is that part of the business plan? Do you give Luke a lot of freedom to kind of do what he wants to do, or do you guys influence that? And is it based on what you've seen in the first 3 months of what sells? Unpackage that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to say something very briefly and then turn it over to Amy, but brewers are artists, and it's like any artist, if you put them in a box and say you have to do this, you're going to lose a brewer. I mean, and Luke makes great decisions because he makes great beer, and so we let him go a bit.
We were, as a team, very specific about the standard set of beers that we're going to have, and then his one-offs or his extra beers that he wants to brew is all up to him.
I have to interrupt quickly. We were talking about music before we started the show. And I said, when's Goo Goo Dolls going to play? Because you had Matchbox 20 on. And here it is.
Here it is.
So
90s, baby.
I'm multitasking. I heard every word you said, but I heard Mr. Resnick come
through. You heard Slide just
That's
a
right.
little bit.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, so dictating the beer. Back to the beer.
Feeling old
well,
over
no,
here.
Jen was right. I mean, we really were prescriptive and thoughtful about those 6. What we're thinking are probably going to be our staple beers. We're going to kind of wait and see. But those 6 original, because we knew we needed a lot of light options.
Is that based on what you saw in the area or just based
on
what
born
the,
and raised in Hastings and knowing what people drink around here.
McGolden Country kind of thing.
Yeah, a lot of McGolden, Miller, Coors Light, you know, that kind of crowd, just because there hasn't been a lot of other options.
Like 80% of the market, so
right. So we knew we had to have some of that, but we also wanted to branch out, you know, have other things and make sure education was actually a big part of our business plan because of that. Like, just because a beer is dark doesn't mean it's scary or thick or whatever it is that people think. But we had those 6 staples, and we kind of decided that as a team based on Luke's recipes, and then he pretty much has total creative control unless there's something really obscure that we would put a nix on. I don't know.
The thing that we dictate the most probably is timing. We have a great beer coming out in the middle of July, and it'll be well timed for our Rivertown Days celebration. So,
which is the week in this airs, right? July 21st,
22nd. Yes, July 20th, 21st, and 22nd is Hastings Rivertown Days, and it's a blast and a half.
Nailed it.
And who's the music this year?
Goo Goo Dolls.
You heard it here first, folks. Get down to Hastings.
They love Spiral Brewery.
We are having music on Sunday afternoon, July 22nd, in Spiral Brewery's tap room from
2 to 5. Hoot Nation.
So we mentioned the 6 beers. We should probably let people know what those 6 beers are. So you guys we'll walk through them. We have a Kolsch, we have a Pale Ale, we have a Red IPA, an IPA, a Porter, and a Stout.
Yes.
I'm kind of at an angle, so it's hard to see. And then also right now you have on the Scotch Ale and a Hef.
Yep, Scottish Ale and the Hef. And the beer that Jen talked about is a Berliner Weiss. That's a blueberry sour ale. Yeah,
so that'll be out the week in this airs.
Yep.
Yes.
So we'll be back for that.
So will that be your first sour? Or?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Luke loves sours, and he loves to brew sours, but we want to make sure that our staples were pretty well settled before then. If Luke were here, he would just say that he brews drinkable beers. Like, that's his thing. Like, anything that he brews, he doesn't want you to have one pint of and go, okay, that was really good, but I don't know if I can do another one. He wants you to be able to drink 2 or 3 of them and be fine with it. And every single one that he's brewed so far, I can do that with. And I'm kind of a snob, so.
So I'm working through. I've had the IPA, which I liked, Red IPA. When I was here before, I think the Bottoms was probably my favorite, and I just had a sip of that, and I still really much enjoy that, the porter.
Mm-hmm. Do a lot with
porter. This fall and winter.
It's a great summer beer, right?
It is. It's a great summer beer. Now, this fall and winter, he's going to do some crazy stuff with the porter. When he was getting down the recipes, he was infusing it with chocolate and with cherries, and not simultaneously, but separately.
Well,
and
you should do it.
Both were just amazing.
Well, yeah.
It both were great. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do this winter with our two dark beers, because our stout is the hard left stout is unlike most stouts that I've ever had. I'm excited about that.
Well, yeah, and we actually have a variation of the stout here that you can get in the tap room, because we have a cold brew coffee on nitro that we buy from True Stone Coffee, and they're the best. But where you put probably a fourth of coffee on top of the stout, and it's just fantastic.
And we have had the privilege of knowing Luke's beer throughout our whole relationship with Luke. So as he's been developing and changing recipes, we've been able to taste them along the way. And that has been really fun in helping to, like, making a menu together and helping to influence the beers from a business standpoint.
Before Corey asks, he has no interest in making a pumpkin beer, correct?
Oh. Okay. This is the time you're playing with.
It's a running kind of between the two of us.
Kind of a funny story about that.
See, that's at least a good question.
So, for
so was it 3 years ago or four?
Years
ago.
So
okay.
Three.
Three and a half, because it's fall. Okay. So, well, whatever. 3 years ago, we had our first event as a team, and it was a friends and family, hey, we're thinking about doing this. And it was when we finished our business plan. This is our business plan. This is the dream. What do y'all think about this? And is anybody interested in investing? And do you know of anybody that might be, from the community?
Pumpkin farmer.
Well, Luke, we wanted two different beers, and Luke brought a Kolsch. And then he also told us the day before this event that he was bringing a pumpkin saison. And I think I can't tell you my exact words on air, but I'm like, what? Like, why would he do that? Because pumpkin beer is the worst.
We're not big fans of pumpkin beers.
But I will say this. I will say this.
You can't put one on now.
People ate it up.
No, like it was fantastic. It was, I normally do not like pumpkin beers, and this was more spice
the
related than pumpkin,
it was really good.
So
good.
So I want to harken back to the education standpoint where we're talking about, the beer's dark. It must be heavy and thick. Pumpkin beers can be whatever you make.
We get it. You like pumpkin beers.
It's an ongoing fight that we have. I just have to bring it up.
Some of the best pumpkin beers are not.
Pumpkin spice is
sweet.
Overrated in general.
Well, pumpkin spice. You got to use real pumpkin.
It's July.
But this is when you get ready to brew for it. I'm a year-round pumpkin fan. That's not really true.
Well, come back in the fall. I'm sure
you
that he'll do
pumpkin.
It. And
yeah,
and
sure
and it's delicious.
Oh, you're going to put the pumpkin saison on?
We
I'm
don't
sure
know
that we will.
That, but maybe.
I would guess.
I'm going to hold you to it now.
It's what you put. Yeah.
I've not had a pumpkin saison, so I'd be curious.
Delightful.
The downside is he's going to try to convince me every time there's one on. So yeah.
You'll have to try ours then.
Well, you got to try them all, right?
Of course.
Where do we go from there?
All right.
So let's talk about some. Nice. Yeah, and that's a wrap. Well, let's talk about a few of the other beers you brought over, some of your staples.
I would like to talk about the Oliver's Grove Pale Ale, the OG. It is just an incredibly drinkable beer, and it's something that Luke has had in his repertoire for a long time. It's a pale ale. Yep. And when he was homebrewing, he called it the John Oliver. So it works out that it's called the Oliver's Grove because that's a Hastings name. That was the name of Hastings. It's a township before we became Hastings. Totally kismet. This beer actually won him a huge homebrewing award out in L.A. He was an avid homebrewer in Chicago and in Los Angeles before even going back to the American Brewers Guild Apprenticeship
Program.
Yeah, sorry. Craft Brewers Apprenticeship
One of those
Program.
Things.
One of those
so many
things.
Of them now.
See, he's the brewer. I'm not. But
I'm with you.
But the Oliver's Grove won him won him the best beer. Is that right?
Yes.
In Southern California? Of all time.
Oh. Of all time.
No, in the Southern...
in Los Angeles County.
Yeah, well, Southern California craft brewers, like...
Yeah. Big.
Yeah, it's a big deal, because they have a lot of home brewers out there, because their craft beer scene is huge. So that's a pretty powerful beer and something that I think is great.
It's nice. It's light. It's a light touch.
Like it you is. Said,
you wouldn't have a problem drinking one or two or three of these.
Yep.
Our 4-ton Scottish Ale is one of our newer beers, and it pours pretty dark, and it looks kind of like a dark beer, but it is so drinkable and so light, and it's really like a light caramel flavor with a little bit of like darker notes, but it's a lighter beer to drink.
4%.
It's 4% alcohol, so. Folks have really, really liked that in the tap room, and that's been fun to see people watch it pour and then not realize what it is, and then really like it.
Well, that's again that education component where we need to let go of these perceptions we have of what a beer should be based on visual or even smell. Sometimes,
I mean,
just because it's a certain color, it's not going to taste the way you think it's going to taste. Mm-hmm. So challenge people.
Certainly a gateway beer, I would say.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, another one is our Kolsch style. It's called Townie. That's a really popular one here in the tap room, like we said, because a lot of the locals are used to more of that lighter drinking. Yeah, yeah, and it's just really light and crisp. I mean, it's a Kolsch, so it has that. But it's a really popular one. And then our Downward Spiral is probably those two are probably our top selling ones in the tap room.
You put IPA behind something, it probably sells a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, people like a good IPA, and this one is really nice, traditional IPA. It's not going to slap you in the face with hops.
Very well
but
balanced.
It's really, yes, nice, nicely balanced.
And you've got a nice red, too.
Yeah, I was going to say that your Spiral IPA, you hit the mark right off the bat on that one, because that's the one that, like I said, my daughter was up in Cottage Grove, so when I go visit her, it's kind of convenient to stop here on the way back and forth. And last time I was through, I picked up a growler of it and stuff, and I really like that beer. I think it's a really good, solid beer. I know it does sound cliche to be in the IPA realm, but it like you talked about, it's balanced. It's not overly hoppy. It's not, it's just a good, solid IPA, and I really appreciate that one. So,
thank you.
Oh, thanks.
So obviously, you guys have the big capacity. You've got 8 beers on right now. Is that kind of the number you're comfortable in the tap room to have, or do you see going to, I can't see the tap head over there, but like 12?
We will have 12.
Okay.
And right now that's because that's what can fit on our menu, but we really just want to have 12 beers in the tap room, and as we produce one-offs, we're always going to have our standard 6 listed at least.
So likely 12 unique styles, or maybe one with like a nitro or a cold press or something like that, or to be determined. Again,
yeah.
I'm delving really deep in your business plan.
Sure.
I think totally.
Social Security numbers, I'll take anything you're giving.
Well, unfortunately, the guy you got to ask those questions to is gone. So Luke would be the guy to field those. But really, the 6 staples will be here. The other 6, I could see us getting incredibly experimental. I mean,
3 or 4 different pumpkin beers?
It's going to be all 6 different variations of pumpkin beer.
You guys aren't that far. I'll be up every other day.
No, we definitely are interested in putting things on nitro and doing some of that, too. So.
And Luke, like I said, really enjoys sours himself, so I'm sure I can see us doing some of those in the future as well.
Non-beer question.
Yeah.
So one thing that sticks out to me about the name of the place is that you guys go with brewery versus brewing or brewing company. What's the reasoning behind that? There's a few breweries, right, by DBA in the state, but why go with that?
Well, I think just to make it tougher to say.
Yeah. or have people get it wrong most of the time. Like, Spiral Brew? Oh, crap, that's wrong.
In our initial conversation that Nick mentioned a little while ago between Nick, Amy, and I, within the first 5 minutes of talking about opening a brewery, we knew that it would be called Spiral Brewery.
I don't know why. What would be in Hastings that could possibly tie to the word spiral?
It's a road, right? I know this. They thought it was funny.
I don't know if we had strong feelings one way or the other. It just was something that stuck, and but, we all thought that right from the beginning. And
but I will say that along with the education piece that's happened here in Hastings as far as breweries go, I think it's important that it is brewery because people get confused sometimes. They're like, well, why are you closed on Mondays and Tuesdays? Because we're brewing the beer. Oh, you brew the beer here. It's like, yeah, that's what the tanks are, you know? So I think having it be brewery is important. It's an active thing. It's what we do here. We brew beer.
I didn't mean that as a negative. I was just curious. It does stand out in today's current environment of what everyone's naming their brewery company. So I think it works. And it's your business. Do what you want.
You started hinting at this a bit, but the reason it spiraled is to pay homage to a bridge that was here from the mid 1800s to
respect
to 1950.
We're all pouring beer out right now.
It's just one out for the spiral beer. Bridge,
which conveniently was only about a block away. So
it was right at the end of our block on Sibley Street. And it was one of a kind. There's only one like it in the country, and you had to drive up a spiral to go across the bridge.
And at the time that they tore it down, right after 1950, the capacity of weight that it could hold was only 4 tons, and that's why we named our Scottish ale 4 tons.
Oh, okay, nice tie-in.
So all the names of the beer have to do with community things, but to get back to the 4 ton, so school buses would have to stop and let kids out and have them walk across the bridge. And then the bus could drive across the bridge and pick them up.
See why they replaced that
side. Yeah, it was super unsafe. Like in the 1950s,
great in January.
It was meant for a horse and buggy, and they kept driving cars across.
Yeah, I'm picturing that poor kid in February crossing the bridge in the wind over the river, and there's a warm bus waiting on the other side.
Goes, uphill both ways.
Super safe.
Yeah. Yep. So, Ira, how'd you feel when they tore the bridge down?
Slam.
So back to the business. So depending on the day of the malt delivery, you guys have some space for potential expansion with distribution. We won't go there, but you guys are working on something else that people can kind of plan on in the expansion realm. Not too far out?
Yeah, well, currently, at some point we are going to have a rooftop patio, which is really unique in Hastings. There isn't one that exists right now, and we're right on the river, so we're really excited about that. And currently we're working with our architects and, you know, getting plans drawn up, and we're going to go through the motions with getting the appropriate approvals from the city and all of that, so that when we're ready to build, we can build. Right now we're anticipating that it won't be open to the public till next year.
For Thanksgiving, or
in time for everyone to sit outside in December. No, we'll see. We're just going through the motions so we can get everything approved, so that when we get to a point where we're ready to do it, we're ready to do it. But I'm guessing next year it'll be usable.
Cool. Yeah, it's still a rare feature, I think, not only just in Hastings but in breweries throughout the state. I think Shakopee just opened up one, which isn't a rooftop one, but it's outdoors. Lynn Lake, and I can't even think of one else off the top of my head right now.
And really, there is not a great place to see the river from Minneapolis down to here. I mean, you have Betty Dangers maybe a bit, but really, our views of the river are going to be amazing. They are amazing up there.
Yeah, you get the big bridge, you get the railroad bridge, everything there, barges going through.
You get to see the hardest left turn in the Mississippi River from our perspective as you're looking up toward the dam, which is our hard left stout.
Okay.
Just for you.
Yeah, I know.
Leave it in. A-hole. So this weekend's a big weekend. You guys got the Hastings River Town Days. So that's going on today. That's going on tomorrow. Anything else people should look forward to from you guys the rest of the summer into the fall?
Every other weekend is a classic car show. So the Second Street, Main Street in Hastings is totally shut down, and there are every single parking spot is filled with a classic vehicle, and you just get to come down and enjoy a meal and walk around and look at great, great vehicles.
There are food trucks, there's a DJ, and all the businesses are wide open. And it's
great.
Great
brewery.
Huh. Now, we didn't talk about food trucks, but specifically, you actually are pretty nicely situated in that you have restaurants to either side of you and across the street. So if people are looking to come down and eat some food or going out for dinner, you're pretty well set.
Yeah, we have 7 restaurants within 2 blocks of us. Most of them are on this block, and We worked out a partnership with them where anybody in here can call and order their food and in 20 minutes just walk out and pick it up. And most of them, most of the locations are close enough where it's just like walking to a food truck at a traditional brewery. And they get the business and we get to keep people in here. And it's just, it's a good community effort.
Win-win for downtown Hastings.
Yes. So.
And then for those who want to keep up to date on all your pumpkin beers coming out, social is a good place to hang out.
Yeah. Facebook.com/Spiral Brewery or at Spiral Brewery on Twitter. And we're also on Instagram if you're an Instagrammer.
We try. Although they limit you to 1-minute videos, which we don't like.
That's
so
true. Yeah.
We have more words than that, so it's hard sometimes. Other things you guys want to mention before we wrap up here?
So the date this is airing, we have tours going at 1, 2, and 3 of our brewing space and a little bit of the backstory of how we got here as a company. And then tomorrow, Sunday, is live music from 2 to 5, featuring a lot of local artists.
Including you, right, I hear? Every Friday night?
Not every Friday night. I actually haven't played here officially yet.
Pressure's on.
Pressure's
on. You heard it here. Nick will be playing guitar every Friday night.
Yep.
Here on out.
Yep. See you on Fridays.
Well, thanks, guys, for having us here, sharing some of your beer with us, and sharing a beautiful space, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much for making the trip.
You.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Hey, it's Andrew Burns coming at you with another Style of the Week. This week, we're talking about Session IPA. Now, fans of the show will know that IPA stands for India Pale Ale, and because these beers were originally shipped all the way from England to India, and part of the preservation process was to make sure that these beers were strong with a high alcohol content to survive the journey. Well, that tradition isn't so important anymore, and American brewers decided that, you know what, we can make India Pale Ales that are lower alcohol. And that's all the word session means. Whenever you see session on a beer style, it just means that that beer has a lower alcohol than usual. So a session IPA is going to be in the 4 to 5, maybe just a touch above 5% alcohol range, as opposed to the 6 or 7 you see from a full strength IPA. But they still have the same flavor characteristics, so expect some bitterness and quite a bit of hoppiness. This is a dry hopped beer, so you expect a lot of aroma from it. And actually, because it's lower alcohol, it might actually be a little bit more bitter than the full strength version of an IPA. Either way, if you like a hoppy, bitter beer but don't want to be consuming as much alcohol, maybe because you want to have more than one, then go for a session IPA.
That is going to put a wrap on this show. Thanks to Spiral Brewery for hosting us on site. Enjoyed their space. Enjoyed chatting with Amy, Jen, and Nick. It was a fun conversation. Went pretty well. What do you think, Ira?
Oh, I had a great time over there. It was fun to try out all their beers and actually have a little more time to talk to them. You know, I'd been over there on their media opening day and kind of chatted with them a little bit and got a chance to peek around. But to get a chance to stop and actually focus on talking about how they got there and their beers, it was really a fun discussion.
Yeah, some solid beer, a beautiful space. It's cool to be in a downtown area. We always love going to those type of breweries where they've kind of built out in a place that already has character and have kind of built off of that. And I think clearly they have respect for the town. That's where they're from. So it's cool to see what they're doing there. And I'm excited to see what comes from them, especially when Nick starts playing a little more guitar.
Yeah, but no, actually, we didn't even get a chance to get into it, but I'd learned some of the backstory of the inside. So it had actually been a photography studio before they started. And so because of it, the walls had already been exposed and then the flooring was kind of already there. And then some of the flooring they actually took and made into some of the benches and tables. But it's really a nice combo of urban, commercial kind of an aspect to it. Beautiful space, and I think it works out really well. I can see them succeeding going forward.
Yeah, they brought those characteristics together and kind of really made it work for them. So, and not too far from us in Northfield, obviously not too far from cities, so anyone within a holler should go definitely check them out.
Well, especially if you're heading up and down the river.
There you go. Which you've done a time or two.
Maybe once in a while.
Well, we'll be back in 2 weeks here on KYMN Radio, 1080 AM, 95 The One. That's going to be 11 AM Saturday, August 4th. If you're going to catch us online, you can find us at ontapnorfield.com as always, on podcast platforms like iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Google Play, iHeartRadio. You find it, we're probably on there. Hopefully. If not, let us know. We'll see what we can do. Our next show is going to be a cool one. It's going to be a break from what we usually do on the show. Obviously, this is a very guest-driven show where we talk to somebody at length about who they are, why they're doing a brewery, what their ambition is. We're going to be at a festival. We're going to be at All Pints North in Duluth. That's going to be at the end of July, just coming up here in about a week. And we're going to be walking around and we're going to talk to a couple different people. I should say more than a couple different people. We'll have 6 to 8 people lined up from different breweries throughout the state. So we're going to represent, obviously, those who are in our normal coverage area. But this gives us an opportunity to talk to some folks who we normally wouldn't talk to, at least for the show. And we're going to have a kind of a short chat with them and kind of include a bunch of different people. And it will be a little different of a format, and I think it's going to turn out pretty well. Check back to us to see if it turns out well. But we've been kind of doing some testing on audio to make sure out in the open of Bayfront Festival Park, or Bayfront Park, excuse me, in Duluth, with noise and who knows what else around, probably a few rowdy people, just a couple rowdy people, but mostly respectful people, to see how that goes. And again, thanks to the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild for giving us media credentials for us to go check that out and give them a little promotion and talk about the festival. I know we were excited to go and look forward to talking to some different people and maybe sampling a beer or two.
Yes, maybe one or two.
I might do three if I get crazy. Depends if we get the interviews done in time. But thanks to the Gill again for helping us. And we've got people lined up for interviews. I don't want to say who, just in case, you know, you never know. Those people are up there working. So for them to give us a little time, we're very appreciative of that and want to make sure we respect their time. So if they get busy, maybe we don't have time for them because they don't have time for us, which we would understand. So we don't want to name anybody yet, but we've got a pretty good mix of people I've been chatting with getting lined up for that show. So join us in 2 weeks for that. As always, keep an eye on our social feeds to see what we've got going on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can just search for OnTap Norfield. I did change our Instagram handle recently. I didn't actually tell you that.
Oh, okay.
It had been OnTap with Corey and Ira. For some reason, we can't get OnTap Norfield. It says it's taken, even though I can't find it, and I can't figure out why anyone would have OnTap Norfield. So on Instagram, we're actually OnTap Norfield MN. But if you look for OnTap Norfield on any of those channels, people should be able to find us. So made that change, figured I realized after a year and a half, why do we have a different name for Instagram? It should be consistent. And,
yep.
And I remember when I was thinking that, oh, because I ran into an issue on the front end when I was trying to get the same name, and then I just went with it. But figured consistency is good, just makes it easier for people. OnTapNorfield.com, good place to catch all our prior shows, just like on podcast platforms. And Facebook is a good place to see what we've got coming up for future guests or shows. After this festival, we got another festival coming up in Rochester, but we've got a good list of guests coming up after that. I've got it filled out through, I think, mid-September, just added Surly Brewing Company onto our Facebook, so we are public with that now. You know, they're, again, one of those exceptions we're making, just like Summit, because they're such a big deal, obviously, in this state that we want to make a little time for them. Now, we're fortunate they're willing to give us their time,
of course.
But we want to highlight them, kind of what they're doing. They've got a lot of cool things going on. Actually, just got a shipment recently, and we'll talk about some of their beer here in a couple shows. We got to send that for a little bit. As I said at the top of the show, we're kind of got a little bit of a backlog on beer, and we're trying to figure out how strategically catch up on it without consuming too much in one show and also giving each brewery its due and time for being nice enough to send us some samples. So we just don't want to rush through everything. So thanks to those who have supported us in that way and for their patience to allow for us to maybe wait a month or so before we actually share the good word on their product. So that's going to put a wrap on this show. We'll see you in 2 weeks. And if you happen to catch this show and you're up at Duluth and you see a couple good-looking guys walking around with some media stuff, audio stuff, come say hi. We'll see you. Cheers.